Nick DeGiglio here on The Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN. Live in the Allstate Studios on the 7th floor of Tribune Tower. We're going to have all of our regular features coming up after 1 o'clock, which is, you know, Drunks in the News and Straight Out of Context and Nick D's Show Spies and all that cool stuff. But it is after midnight, and it is Friday night, and Friday nights after midnight on WGN can mean only one thing on the Nick DeGiglio Show, and that's the Midnight Movie Reviews. Eric Childress, Colin Suter from eFilmCritic.com join me every week to talk about the new movies and to cover all the on-demand options, because that's another very viable way to watch movies, is just right in your house on your on-demand. And we've got a list of the on-demand movies we'll tell you all about that you can watch in your house and all the new movies that we're going to review. The phone number, if you have a movie comment, a movie question, a movie review of your own, is 312-981-7200. 7200. Are the themes that we hear when we do the Midnight Movie Reviews. Every Friday night right here on Nick DeGiglio Show on WGN, you get the Midnight Movie Reviews. 312-981-7200 is the phone number, and here is Colin and Eric. Hi, guys.
Hello.
All right. Let's start with the on-demand list, as we normally do. Eric, you saw one of these.
Actually, I found out that I've seen two.
Oh, all right. Well, let's start with Tomorrow You're Gone. What is Tomorrow You're Gone?
Tomorrow You're Gone is a little film noir starring Stephen Dorff as a guy who is kind of saved in prison by a mysterious guy known as the Buddha, played by Willem Dafoe. Mm-hmm. And after Dorff's character gets out of prison, he is tasked by the Buddha to perform a hit job for him. Needless to say, he botches the hit job and decides to basically go on the run after meeting the amateur porn star on a bus played by Michelle Monaghan. Sounds like a laugh, right, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
It sounds like a blast, doesn't it? It's beyond mediocre.
Yeah.
It seems like Stephen Dorff is trying to kind of do what Jason Patrick did in After Dark, My Sweet. Kind of trying to give, like, one of those type of performances.
Oh, God. Stephen Dorff is trying to do that?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it doesn't work. I'm telling you. Yeah, and it's directed by the guy, David Jacobson, who did Dahmer and a film called Down in the Valley with Edward Norton.
Yep.
And I've read up a little bit about the movie. This one is that the screenwriter, who also the movie is based on a book that he did. The film has been languishing around for 2 years because the screenwriter, of all people, tried to sue to stop the movie from being put out there because he believes they compromised his vision or something.
Uh-huh.
You know, needless to say, I don't know who's to blame on this one, but I'd like to get to the bottom of it because it's not good.
All right, Tomorrow You're Gone, available on demand with Stephen Dorff, not good. All right, what's the other one that you saw?
The other one, the film on the list is called Six Souls.
Mm-hmm.
And film that was actually supposed, it was on like the schedule to come on Chicago like several years ago. It was called Shelter at the time.
Yeah, it's Julianne Moore.
Julianne Moore and Jonathan Rhys-Meyers.
Right.
And I barely remember what this film was even about. I know she plays a psychiatrist and he plays a guy with multiple personalities. And it was like at the same time, it was like there was that movie, that Case 39 movie with Renee Zellweger. That was held up for a while.
Yeah.
I remember it being worse than that.
Okay.
So.
All right.
Seriously, I remember nothing about this movie.
It's you know, by the way, I'm just looking it up on IMDb.
Mm-hmm.
It's the date says 2010.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, they've been, on the on-demand menu, everybody's got like different on-demand. I've got Comcast Xfinity.
Mm-hmm.
and the Six Souls has been taking up the whole bottom part of the menu being publicized.
Really?
Like they're really pushing it. Like every time I every time I scroll down on my menu, this Six Souls things pops up.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. All right.
Okay. Whatever.
I saw the trailer for this one. It's called Erased.
Yeah.
With Aaron Eckhart, and it's to me, it's like they were like, all right, from just by looking at the trailer,
mm-hmm.
it was like they were like, all right, let's rip off Taken and Unknown.
Yeah.
At the same time.
That's exactly what you get when you see the, yeah.
That's like, what is this, man? I mean,
yeah.
It was like, let's take these two Liam Neeson movies and just combine them. Put Unknown and Taken in a blender and put Aaron Eckhart in there, and that's what this
yeah,
is.
Yeah, that's exactly, when I read what the description of this movie is, and then I did watch the trailer, too, I could not describe it better.
Yeah. I couldn't believe it when I saw the trailer for it. I'm like, it's like it is seriously every beat from both movies combined.
Yep.
So, and what the hell's going on with Aaron Eckhart?
I don't know.
Man,
what has he done recently? That
well, he's in the Olympus thing.
Well, Olympus movie, okay.
Yeah. But I can't. I don't know what was the last thing he did that was any good. You know, and I like Aaron.
Look that up.
I'll have to look it up too. Yeah.
Maybe Dark Knight.
I liked Rabbit Hole.
Okay.
He was in Rabbit Hole.
He was in the Rum Diary. I'm actually a fan. I'm the only. I like Battle Los Angeles. I'm the only.
Yeah. 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 That's Colin's favorite.
Yeah. So,
yeah. You can have it.
Yeah. I guess my favorite performance of his in a while would have maybe been the Black Dahlia.
Oh, so, good God, Nick!
Yeah,
what the hell? What the hell?
Come on, man, DePaul.
Oh, you're reaching.
No.
All right. Tell me about Mariachi Gringo.
Mariachi Gringo has nothing to do with Robert Rodriguez.
Uh-huh.
It's a stifled small town man stuck in a dead end life runs away to Mexico to be a mariachi singer. Mariachi Singer is a musical tour de force exploring the reality of, quote-unquote, following your dreams.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and when you think Mariachi Singer, you think Sean Ashmore.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I am looking at the cast. Tom Wopat's in it, so he's got my money.
All right, and Story of Luke.
Sheltered by his grandparents, Luke, a young man with autism, is thrust into a world that doesn't expect anything from him.
Mm-hmm.
I guess he's got autism. But Luke is on a quest for a job and true love, and he isn't taking no for an answer.
Uh-huh. And it's looking
big
at the
cast.
Yeah.
Cary Elwes, Seth Green, Lou Taylor Pucci in another movie tonight. Kristen Bauer, a.k.a. Manhands.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Okay. Yeah, I'm looking at the list, too.
And who plays Luke? Oh, Luke Pucci plays Luke.
Luke.
So it's
okay.
His story.
There you go. All right.
Yeah.
It's his story. And Seth Green has the beard in this one.
Yes.
Okay. Venus and Serena. I'm assuming this is a documentary about the tennis players.
That is correct.
Okay. That would have been my guess.
Well said.
All right. And what about Welcome to the Punch? This is the last on demand.
Welcome to the Punch is another big film with a big cast. Ex-criminal Jacob Sternwood is forced to return to London when his son is involved in a heist gone wrong. There's a lot of just genre mashups this week.
Yeah.
This gives the nemesis, Detective Max Lewinsky, one last chance to catch the man he's always been after.
Mm-hmm.
And the cast has James McAvoy, David Morrissey, a.k.a. the governor, Mark Strong, Jason Fleming, Peter Mullen. Really, really good cast.
Peter Mullen.
Yeah.
Top of the lake.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Welcome to the Punch, James McAvoy. I've always liked him, and I understand that he's actually quite good in the new Danny Boyle movie.
Yes.
So I'm looking forward to that. All right, well, those are your on-demand options. They don't seem to be very good.
No.
Six Souls, Erased, Mariachi Gringo, Story of Luke, Tomorrow You're Gone, Venus and Serena, and Welcome to the Punch. So check out your on-demand menus and, I guess, avoid those.
Or don't.
All right. Okay, guys, hang on. We'll get to the movies that are in theaters coming up, okay?
Okay.
Hold on a second. There we go. Colin and Eric are with us. It's the Midnight Movie Reviews on WGN.
Shooting figures of light in the skies over Hollywood.
Nick DiGilio here on The Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN, live in the Allstate studio on the seventh floor of the Tribune Tower. Midnight movie reviews, that's what we're doing, and we're going to jump right into them accordingly. This is Colin, and this is Eric. Guys, welcome back.
Thank you.
What is this movie, the first movie on the list, Eric?
Oh, Blanca Nieves?
Yeah, what is that?
It is a black and white silent film.
Oh, wait. You mentioned this one, didn't you?
Yeah.
Okay, tell me about it again. Tell everybody about it. Where's it playing? Is it playing?
Colin, do we know where this is playing? I know.
I was just about to look that up because I wasn't sure.
I want to think it's that's a landmark, I think.
Okay. And now, Colin, have you seen this?
I have not.
Okay.
Very curious, though.
Okay. I thought you'd seen it.
Eric, go ahead and tell us about it while we look up where it's playing.
Okay. Like I said, it's a black and white silent film, and it's a story. Starts off with a story as a bullfighter who's having a really bad day. He has a really bad encounter in the ring with the bull. His wife dies during childbirth, and then finds that the nurse nurses him back to health, even though he becomes paralyzed, is basically going to take over his life. And the more you start to watch this story unfold, the more you realize that we're watching yet another riff on the Snow White legend. Mm. And that we are watching a new version of Snow White done completely in the style of a silent film. And I can tell you this much, it is beautiful.
Is it?
It is terrific. Yeah. We all love the artist for several reasons. But this film feels less like a gimmick. This actually feels like if you put it on, you would think you were actually watching sort of a restored version of a silent film from the bygone era.
Mm.
It feels authentic. It's beautifully put together. The score of this thing is absolutely going to be one of my favorite scores of the year. It is absolutely terrific. It's really one of my favorite movies of the year.
Wow. Well, it doesn't seem to be popping up at any theaters.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not seeing it anywhere. No.
Maybe they moved the release date.
Someone didn't tell me then.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, well, I'll keep looking for it.
Yeah, keep looking for it. Well, if it comes out again next week, we'll mention it again. Blanca Nieves. Okay.
Well, cool. Look out for this one.
Look out for it. All right, there you go. All right, Colin, why don't you tell us about Jurassic Park 3D?
Well, what can you say about Jurassic Park that hasn't been said already? This is, you know, the 1993 blockbuster that, from Steven Spielberg about the dinosaurs and running rampant through a theme park that wasn't meant to be, with Sam Neill and Richard Attenborough and Laura Dern and Jeff Goldblum and Samuel Jackson. And
Newman,
now,
and
20
Newman,
years later,
and Newman is in it too.
Oh, of course, Newman's right. And now it's 20 years later, and now it's been re-released in 3D, which has been quite the trend over the last few years, with varying degrees of success and mixed results. And I gotta say, this is the best 3D conversion I've seen so far. This is a great movie to do this with. It's a great way to, celebrate the 20th anniversary of this movie. I think the movie holds up beautifully. I think it's still, just as entertaining, just as scary, and just as fun as it was 20 years ago. Seeing it on the big screen again, it's probably the first time I've seen it on the big screen in about 15 years. Well, I mean, obviously, well, like more like 18 years, but probably the first time I've seen the movie in like 15 years, seeing it on video. And I'd forgotten how much, like, I'd forgotten some of the things that happened in it. And this is just a wonderful event, a wonderful thing to be able to go back and see this movie on the big screen again, to see Steven Spielberg at, one of his peaks. Guy's had many peaks, and I actually remember this was a comeback movie for him because he had a, string of either artistic or box office failures prior to it. And this one, put him back, where he belongs.
Well, 93 was a pretty good year for him, so...
Not too bad.
Yeah.
Year. Yeah. You can say that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, this was the movie that, you know, changed how blockbusters are made. Once again, he changed how blockbusters are made with the special effects. You know, when I saw this again, and in 3D especially, you know, that first shot of that brontosaurus, I got the chills because I just was reminded, like, this is where everything changed, this moment right here. And, you know, the expressions on the characters' faces when they're looking at the brontosaurus pretty much mirrors what the audience is feeling when watching this scene, you know, 20 years ago, or maybe even today, or in a way. You know, you can nitpick the script to death, you know, okay, you know, the characters aren't the most well-rounded three-dimensional people on the planet. I don't care. I have so much fun when I watch this movie, and I'm happy to have it on the big screen again. It looks great in 3D. The park really comes to life. Every shot looks like it was, you know, really carefully, you know, looked after and composed. And yet it still doesn't have that. It still has that that sort of celluloid look to it. You know, it doesn't look over, you know, digitized or anything. It still kind of looks like a real, like, you know, celluloid film in a way. So, yeah, if you haven't seen Jurassic Park, or if you've got kids who have never seen Jurassic Park, take them to go see it or go see it again. It's worth seeing in 3D. It's worth the price. Go and enjoy yourself.
All right. Eric, we'll get your thoughts, and you'll get my – I didn't see it in 3D because, quite frankly, I'm not crazy about this movie. But we'll get your thoughts on the 3D conversion of Jurassic Park, which is now in theaters, after the news, which is coming up next right here on WGN. Nick DiGilio here on The Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Tribune Tower. Alrighty then. We are doing the midnight movie reviews, as you can tell. It's Friday after midnight right here on The Nick DiGilio Show, and you can hear the midnight movie reviews. By the way, I just want to remind everyone again that if you miss any part of our shows now, the full-length podcasts are back up, and you can get the full-length podcast now. So if you miss any of the movie reviews or my interview with Michael Patrick Thornton or my visit with Steve Krakow with the latest Secret History of Chicago Music, you can get them all and listen to At Your Leisure, Bro. The full-length podcasts are back. So just go to WGNradio.com and get those up if you want to download them. Check them out. All the full-length podcasts are back up and available. So, all right, midnight movie reviews. Let's get back. Here's Colin and Eric. All right, guys.
Hello.
All right. Colin just gave us his review of Jurassic Park 3D, loves the movie, thinks it looks great in 3D. And you said the best 3D conversion?
Conversion, yeah.
Okay. All right. Eric, go ahead.
Well, I definitely have to agree with that assessment. I mean, I thought Titanic 3D looked pretty darn good last year, but there's something about this. And when I went and saw it this afternoon, I mean, I purposely sat below. I sat, you know, not in the, you know, the stadium seating. I sat below so I could look up at this film because that's how I first saw it. You know, I saw it, you know, looking up at a big screen, very, very low trajectory, and just to see, you know, these images of these dinosaurs and whatnot on the screen, it was really being transported back to 1993, at the time when I saw the movie 5 times in its original run, and then another 2 times when it got re-released. And you know, one of the interesting things about, you know, what we do is that, you know, to be able to revisit a film like this 20 years later, and to sort of look at it in a completely different way. I mean, Colin talks about how that moment when you see the brontosaurus, and that's, you know, sort of movie history, at least special effects history, in a way. And this movie, you know, I think when you look back upon it, yeah, it's definitely a crazy movie about, you know, dinosaur attacks and, you know, running from dinosaurs. But it's a film that I think is almost a commentary on that period, that sort of change. And, you know, that the dialogue goes back and forth about, you know, whether or not they man should be creating these dinosaurs or doing, you know this new, you know, fooling around with this new technology. You know, is it going to screw everything up? And you think about, you know, where visual effects have progressed since then. In a lot of cases, you know, story and characters have died because of just the need to sort of push the boundaries of special effects. I mean, sometimes it works with, like, say, like The Matrix, and other times you get Transformers, which, you know, Spielberg obviously, you know, had a little bit of a role in. I think watching the film with that perspective in mind, I think it brought a whole new sense of joy to it. Watching, you know, which is Spielberg, you know, the cautious Sam Neill character? Is he Jeff Goldblum? Is he Richard Attenborough? Just to see the movie and watching it in that perspective, in the same sort of way that I watch movies like Rear Window and Inception, where it's, you know, it's almost a commentary on watching movies in general. I thought brought a whole new layer to a film that I think is pretty damn terrific to begin with.
Okay. All right. I'm not going to rain on anybody's parade. I didn't see it in 3D because I don't think it's that good, but I'm not going to go back and see it. I just remember thinking it took forever for the dinosaurs to show up in this movie, or at least somebody to be eaten. Because there's this one point where, you know, I haven't seen the movie in a long time. There's one point where Goldblum looks in a camera that's in the Jeep and says, "Are there going to be any dinosaurs in your dinosaur park?" And that, as a viewer of the movie, that's exactly how I felt while I was watching it. It's like, I don't care that Sam Neill doesn't like kids. I don't care. I want to see dinosaurs eating people.
Which, so. I think, you know, what's funny about that aspect of it, that the way you look at it,
yeah.
I'm pretty sure if you go back and read Roger Ebert's review of Jurassic Park,
yeah.
He says just the opposite. He says you see the dinosaurs early and often, which was sort of his criticism about the movie because of what Spielberg did with Jaws and how long it took to see the shark.
Yeah, okay.
And I think that other than the sort of the friendly dinosaurs, the Brachiosaurus, the Brontosaurus, and
early in the movie they get sneezed on and stuff, right? Before the big
You get sneezed on later, but you're just kind of seeing the passive. You don't really see the you only see the eyes of the Velociraptors. You don't really see the T-Rex until that, you know, that great moment when the T-Rex attacks. So I think it's sort of the same way as Jaws to me. I was thinking about that watching it too.
I will say this: there are some masterful sequences in the movie. The T-Rex scene is fantastic. The buildup, the use of suspense, the use of sound, the actual appearance of the T-Rex, and the destruction and the whole smashing the car around and over the side of the bridge, all that stuff is really masterfully done. That's a really beautiful sequence. But then to me, the movie kind of disintegrates. You know, I mean, that's a really cool scene. There's some other cool moments in it. It was one of those movies where I just didn't give a damn about any of the characters, and I just wanted to see people get eaten by dinosaurs. And so it was actually doing that for a while. But then it turned into a Friday the 13th movie, and instead of Jason, it was a raptor. And it was them running through, you know, the kitchen, and it turned into a slasher movie, but instead of a slasher, it was the raptors. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's so much fun, though.
I know.
Like War of the Worlds, where he basically kind of repeats that sequence just with an alien finder.
Yeah, but I like that scene's cool.
It's so weird. I don't get it.
I don't know. I'm not. I mean, you guys know I run hot and cold and medium at most on Spielberg.
Yeah.
On this one, it just didn't do it. You know, and in fact, you know, maybe the most successful and biggest year of his career, in terms of making a crowd pleasing, money making hit, and then cleaning up at the Academy Awards. You know, 5 months later. I didn't like either of those movies.
Right.
So there you go. All right.
Schindler's List in 3D is going to be amazing.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So, Colin, now you did not get to see Evil Dead.
I did not. I thought I was going to have time. So I'm not much use to you on tonight's show.
Okay. Eric?
Yeah.
Tell us about Evil Dead.
Okay, well, Evil Dead, this is the remake, reimagining, updating, 30 years later. Evil Dead was 83, correct?
It varies. You know, some people say it was 81 because it languished for such a long time.
Yeah.
Nobody really saw the damn thing until around 84.
Okay.
You know what I mean? But it was technically, they shot it like in 79. You know what I mean?
Right. Just IMDb, right. IMDb has it listed as 1981.
Yeah, that's around, you know, it was just this whole gestation period of this movie.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it's been a long time.
Yeah.
Since Raimi's Evil Dead came out.
It's been over 30 years. So,
yeah, we'll just say that.
Yeah.
But he's back. He's producing along with his partner, Bruce Campbell. Producing this updated remake, and once again, it's a group of young people who go to a cabin in the woods. This time, not to party, not to hang out, not to vacation, but to get one of their friends off drugs. And that she's played by Jane Levy. Her brother is played by Shiloh Fernandez, and they have three other friends with them. To help her kick the habit, just keep her there as long as she can until she kicks it. But there's something in the basement, and it's the Book of the Dead. And even though it's wrapped up in barbed wire and, you know, there are dead cats everywhere, one of the people, you know, played by Luke Taylor Pucci from The Story of Luke, he decides to open the book, read the incantations, and, of course, it unleashes the evil demons who infect Jane Levy's body. And begin to cause havoc amongst the people at the cabin and keeping in there. So we all know the story of Evil Dead, and that's sort of the big variation of it is basically the why they're there. But the film also gives you a prologue, a little bit of a backstory to where the book came from, and then sort of an elongated epilogue in a way. That a lot of people will probably rightfully compare to last year's Cabin in the Woods, except this film is doing it with no sense of irony. A lot of people were very excited when they saw the trailer for Evil Dead and when they heard that director Fede Alvarez was only going to be using practical effects and no visual Jurassic Park-type trickery and whatnot. It's just going to be old-school gore for the sake of old-school gore. Well, you get that, and you get a lot of it, and you get a lot of spurting blood and all kinds of stuff, and there's no shortage of blood in this film, but there's a shortage of a lot of everything else. To me, the film lacks the one real thing that made Sam Raimi's film stand out at the time and continues to make it stand out as, you know, to be beyond just another, you know, horror film of its day. And that's basically the style of the film and Sam Raimi's sense of just oddity and, you know, camera work and weirdness. The first Evil Dead film was most definitely a horror film. And Fede Alvarez thinks he's making a real, big, sincere kind of horror film. Except the damn thing isn't scary. Gore to me isn't scary. It's just more gore. And if this thing was, you know, wrapped in the garment of the Platinum Dunes label that Michael Bay has put out and done several remakes like Texas Chainsaw, amongst others, it would just feel like another Platinum Dunes failed remake that people would rather throw into the fire. God bless the gore hounds. If that's all you want, that's what you're going to get. But this film is not scary. It's not really fun. I like Jane Levy. The ending to me, you know, which we can discuss after we get Nick's review, doesn't seem to make a lot of sense to me. It seems like the demons are cheating a little bit. I did not like the Evil Dead remake.
Okay, I thought it was great.
There you go.
I had a blast. First of all, I'm so glad you mentioned Jane. Jane Levy's great in this movie. I think she's great. I think it's a great scream queen performance, a great scary performance. I think she's scary in this movie, man. And a great physical performance, an exhausting job she did. And I think she is really great in this movie. I loved watching her. Everybody else in this movie is pretty dull. I'll give you this. I mean, the script is, I love the idea that I like the setup that, you know, because most of the time when you see these movies where these idiots go up to these cabins and they all get killed one by one, you kind of sit there and go, why the hell aren't they leaving?
Right.
Well, the setup at the beginning where they decide no matter what happens, no matter how crazy she gets, we're not leaving. We're not letting her leave, and we're not leaving this place. And I thought that was kind of a clever conceit, you know, because 5 minutes into these Cabin in the Woods movies, you're kind of like, why don't they just get in the truck and leave?
Mm-hmm.
But I like the way they set that gimmick up. It kind of falls apart towards the end, because at some point it's like, just get the hell out of there.
Right.
And I don't think anybody is particularly strong in this movie except for Jane Levy. So in terms of acting and script writing, this is not, you know, I mean, this is your basic idiots acting stupid, getting killed one by one in a cabin in the woods movie. Granted, this guy does not have the visual panache that Raimi has. No way.
Yeah.
But I think there's some really scary stuff in this movie. I think the makeup effects are fantastic. And this thing is relentless. I don't know how in God's name it got an R. I mean, seriously.
I keep hearing that.
Oh,
my God,
Eric, it's unbelievable.
Maybe because I kind of tuned out.
Yeah.
It wasn't really affecting me that much. But, I mean, for one, I still want someone to answer to me why demons are into self-mutilation. I don't understand this.
Well, okay. Well, I don't want to give anything away.
Yeah.
But there's a particular scene that involves an electric knife.
Yes. Well, I'm not even talking about that. There's another scene with an earlier mutilation.
Right.
And I don't understand that.
Yeah, yeah. I don't. It seems to me. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
I know why the electric slicer girl was doing it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But all right. So anyway. This thing is just like, there are sequences in this movie, and at some point when it kicks in, my God, man, I mean, it's just like, you know, and yeah, this is a gorehound's dream, this movie. I mean, this movie was made for people who love to watch lots of big gory effects. I mean, one after another, after another, after another, relentlessly. And that's exactly what I wanted from this movie, and that's exactly what I got. And I know that, you know, most people are in your camp, Eric.
Are they?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely, man. You know, my friends who saw it, I would say, like, of the six or seven people that I know who saw it, four of them didn't like it.
Mm.
So, but I, you know, and I went in thinking, okay, well, maybe I'll have to adjust my expectations a little bit. But I had a blast. The audience that we saw it with went nuts.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But again, and by the way, there is a kicker at the end of this movie. Make sure you stay.
Right, that's what I heard.
For the end credits. Colin, make sure you stay for the entire movie.
Yeah.
And the end credits. Make sure you stay for it, because it's really kind of fun.
Yeah.
But it's, I don't know. I mean, this is exactly what I wanted it to be.
Can I ask the question that, I mean, it's been nagging me since I saw the movie.
Yeah.
We're not going to spoil anything, but I think the demon cheats.
I agree with you.
Unless the dog counts.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I totally agree with you. I totally agree with you. It was like, wait a minute, they set this whole thing up where it's got to be this.
Yeah.
And at that point, there was blood coming out of the sky anyway. So,
yeah, you can't give one back, and then the demon's like, okay, I guess I got four.
Yeah, but the sequence with her and the demon. Outstanding.
Yeah, I know. I know some people even don't like the movie that are fans of that. The episode, the final sequence.
Oh my God!
I mean, I just didn't care. I just didn't.
I don't know. I was having the more blood that was shooting on people's faces, the more the more limbs that were getting ripped out and eyes being. I mean, there's a nail gun sequence in this movie that I think is just astoundingly awesome. It's just like I don't even know what to say, man. This is, and by the way, and I do want to warn people, obviously, if you do not like violence and if you do not like gore, stay the hell away from this movie. Don't say I didn't warn you.
There's a perfectly fine movie playing right down the hall that's got raptors in a kitchen.
Yeah, there you go. You can go see that. I mean, you know, but man, if you go there thinking, oh, I'm just going to go see this little horror movie and you don't like gore, you're screwed within the first 5 minutes. Like, the first 5 minutes of the movie is like, what? You know? So, Anyway, I thought it was terrific.
Yeah.
I mean, and clearly, and Eric, you know, you got to understand this. I totally, I mean, it's nowhere near as creative and as much.
Yeah, no, I believe you. I'm with you.
As the original, obviously.
Yeah.
But, and this has a completely different tone to it. And I, you know, like I said, except for Jane Levy, who I think is exceptionally good in this, the acting is bad. It's two-dimensional characters, except for the gimmick of keeping her there because she's on Smack and they got to keep have her go through cold turkey.
Yeah.
The rest of it is predictable and dumb. And why does this guy, why does that moron keep reading from the book? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just, I mean, but that's kind of a concession that you make when you go and see these movies anyway. And because the characters are so stupid, there was a kind of a bit of a joy in watching them getting mutilated.
That's true.
So,
I definitely understand that line of thinking.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, we got one more movie to talk about. And Colin, you saw the next movie, right?
Yes, I did.
Okay, good. Okay, good. Good. Okay, so we'll talk about that. We got to take a quick break. One more movie to talk about on Midnight Movie Reviews. If you want to jump in, you saw Evil Dead, 312-981-7200. Nick DiGilio and WGN. Nick DiGilio here on The Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN. In the Allstate studio on the seventh floor of the Tribune Tower, we're bumping up to news here, so we're going to review the next movie after the news, after one. It's called The Place Beyond the Pines, and we will review that after the news. Tom in Waukegan called up, and he couldn't hang on, you guys, and he wanted to know whether I like Saving Private Ryan or not.
No, he doesn't like it.
No, I like the first 20. I like the first 20 minutes, and then it's all downhill after that. let me ask you guys a question. Have you seen, before we jump to the news here, have either of you guys seen the trailer for The Purge?
No. I know when it's coming out, but I haven't seen the trailer.
Oh, man. It's attached to Evil Dead.
Okay.
So it's like it's the trailer for Evil Dead. Now, you know the plot?
No.
Okay. It's like Ethan Hawke has a family, and it takes place sometime in the future, but the foreseeable future, okay?
Okay.
And the unemployment is at 1%, the crime rate doesn't exist, and the reason why is because one night a year, crime is legal, and you can do whatever the hell you want and kill whoever you want, and there will be no repercussions whatsoever. And
it almost seems like it's based on that George Carlin bit.
Yeah,
where the four states, you know, have the interlocking gates.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but that's what the plot is. It's like the one night a year, everybody goes out and lets off all the steam and kills people and do horrible things to one another and rip things off and destroy things. And then after that one night, everything goes back to normal, and that's why everything is so beautiful and docile in the world.
Okay, I'm in.
Yeah. In the trailer, they lock down their house once a year, okay? So they've got, like, these big steel gates that come down in front of the house. And so they're really, like, the whole family stays in. They bolt the doors. They lock everything. It's, like, secure steel doors, everything. Well, one of the kids sees a guy being chased by a group of people outside. He's all bloody, and he's asking for help. He's screaming for help. So Ethan Hawke's kid presses the button and lifts up the steel door. The guy comes in. They let him in, and Ethan Hawke is like, why the hell did you let this guy in? They close the steel door, and then now they're under siege from these guys who want to come in and kill this guy. And that's the plot.
All right. From the writer of Jack, so that, you know.
Yeah, and he also directed it. But I guess he's, like, really good buddies with Ethan Hawke because he co-wrote and he wrote Assault on Precinct 13 and co-produced it, so. There you go, for what it's worth. But I saw the trailer, and I kind of giggled through the entire trailer. For some reason, I want to see it. So there you go. That's The Purge. It comes out in May. All right, you guys, hang on. The Purge. All right.